Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
College football is less than 2 months away. And the magazines have hit the newsstands. The top magazine out there for years and years and years is the Phil Steele College Football Preview. It's got probably the most information on every single team, not just the top 25, not just the SEC, but every team in college football that you can imagine. It's colorful. It's got everything that you could want if you're a college football fan. And the man that produces it, writes it, basically just does everything is Phil Steele. And he joins us now here on 560 WQAM. Phil, good evening. How are you?
You know, I am doing great. How about yourself tonight?
I'm doing well. And what I want to get to with you, Phil, before we get to the teams, that I love how you break down in your magazine, and you talk about a Saturday for you. You always have that picture of all the games that, you know, you're watching like 12 games at once. For Phil Steele, what is a typical Saturday in the fall look like for you?
Yeah, like you just said, 12 TVs in front of me all day long from the first kickoff all the way through that dumb Hawaii game at 3 o'clock in the morning, but and at that point it's down to one TV. It's a lot quieter, but during the day it's pretty intense. I got my Diet Mountain Dews lined up and trying to take as many notes as I can about the games and just take in all 12 games. And it's tough to do. You have to have a lot of focus, a lot of concentration, not a lot of chatter in the room.
Do you have a few games that you focus on? You know, if you're having a big SEC game or a Big Ten game of note, is there one you're focusing on, or you're trying to keep an eye on all of them equally?
No, I do focus on the four mainly right in front of my desk. Those are the ones I could tell you every play of all four games. And then the next ring, there's five TVs around that ring of four. Those I could tell you about every other play of the game. And then the last ring, which is sets 9, 10, and or 10, 11, and 12 are the games that I could probably tell you every third play, drives of the game, what happened in drives, but I can't watch every single play of those games. So there is a method to the madness, and most important games are directly in front of me. When Alabama is playing an FCS team, that's going to be up there on number 12 because you pretty much know what's going to happen.
Now, how long does it take you to put the magazine together?
We start at the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I have staff about 15 people that work for me, and we do it in three write-throughs, a postseason write-through, a pre-spring write-through, and then a post-spring write-through. And the post-spring write-through is done after I've talked to the coaches. I talked to about 110 of the 130 coaches out there. So it takes a good six full months of work. I added up the words and the numbers and words and the stats in the magazine. There's a little over a million words and stats in the magazine. So we do have three to four times the amount of information. And the transfer portal kept us very busy this month of May. Now, the other magazines were hitting the shelf the middle of May, which means they have to go to the press before spring practices are even over. We didn't go to the press until May 30th. So that's why we come out later than everybody else. But we captured all the transfer portal action in the month of May.
Phil Steele joining us here on 560 WQAM, of course, the Phil Steele College Football Preview. It's out on newsstands now. And now to get to the stuff on the field with you, Phil. First, Alabama and Clemson. We've seen them in the college football playoff each of the last 4 years, three times playing for the title. Clemson rolled Bama this past year in the national championship. Do you think it's good for college football seeing those two teams playing each other for the championship, or at least in the college football playoff, or do you think it gets a little tiring?
I do a lot of radio shows around the country, and I think the general consensus is, unless you're an Alabama fan, unless you're a Clemson fan, it's getting a little tiring across the country. Now, the good news is, if it is tiring to you, keep in mind that last year, Clemson was at home against Syracuse as a four-touchdown favorite. Yet in the fourth quarter, they're down by two scores. They needed their third-string quarterback to complete a 4th-and-10 pass to keep their final drive alive. They pulled out the win. Had they not won that game, Syracuse and Clemson would have tied at 7-1 in their division. Syracuse would have gone to the ACC title game, and Clemson might have missed out on the playoffs last year. So anything can happen in college football, but I do think fans are getting a little tired of it.
Looking locally here, Phil, and the Miami Hurricanes last two or 3 years, rather, with Mark Richt as their head coach. The first 2 years were pretty good. Last year took a bit of a turn towards the end. Now the Mark Richt era is over. Manny Diaz is in. What are your expectations for the Hurricanes this year under Manny Diaz?
Well, my surprise team list, which I have in the front of the magazine, are teams that are not in the top 10 that I think actually have a chance to make the playoff. And I actually have Miami as my number two surprise team this year. And let me tell you why. First of all, they were probably better than a 7-6 record last year. Could easily have won the Virginia game, could easily have won the Georgia Tech game. And as you noted, it got a little ugly at the end, especially in the bowl game. But nothing was wrong with the defense. They allowed just 19.5 points per game, 279 yards per game. Now, generally with a first-year head coach, there's a learning curve. They have to learn the player's strengths and weaknesses. Players have to learn new systems. That's not the case here. Manny Diaz knows the defensive players. He's got six starters back. He's got one of the best linebacking corps in the country. In fact, I rated number two. He's got my number seven rated defensive line. This is a legitimate top 10 defense. Now, offensively, when I talked to Coach Diaz and went over the team with him this spring, he is extremely high in the addition of Dan Enos, the offensive coordinator from Alabama. Feels he's going to get the most out of the offense. And let's face it, quarterback play was poor last year, about 50% completions, 14 interceptions. I think Tate Martell and the addition of Enos will help that category out. There's dangerous running backs with Cameron Harris, Lingard, and Dallas. The receiving corps is solid, and the offensive line looks good. And then you look at the schedule for Miami this year, very manageable. They go on the road September 7th at North Carolina. Don't go on the road again until October the 26th. The road slate in ACC play is North Carolina, Duke, Pitt, all in the winnable category. Even Florida State you'd have to rate as a toss-up game, and that means the toughest games in the division, Virginia Tech, Virginia, are both at home. Add it all up, I've got Miami winning the ACC Coastal, and if they have just one loss headed in that game, they'd be one win away from a playoff berth if they could somehow upset Clemson.
Now, what about the Florida game to start off? They moved that game up a week. It's basically the only game out there in Orlando. We know how much the Gators improved under Dan Mullen in year one last year. How do you see that Gators-Canes game shaking out?
In Vegas right now, Florida's about a 7-point favorite. I rate the game more of a toss-up. I think Miami has the defense that can stay with them. Now, Florida's a very good team. As we saw last year, you touched on Felipe Franks. When Felipe Franks got benched in the game, there's when Trask took over for him, I believe it was against Missouri. Then it was pretty much Trask was going to start the next week against South Carolina, but got injured in practice. They turned it back to Franks. Franks got off to a slow start that trailed South Carolina big, but in that second half, that big comeback, all of a sudden Felipe Franks was a different quarterback the rest of the year, more like a Dan Mullen quarterback, you know, one that could run and pass. He's got great skill players around him. The defense is a top 15 unit. Biggest question mark I have for Florida is that young offensive line. Only one returning starter on the offensive line. And to me, that's going to be the key in the Miami game and the key to the rest of the season. I still think Florida can contend in the East. The Georgia game last year was closer than the final score would indicate at 36-18. And if they could upset Georgia, they could win the East. But I picked them second in the East and 10th overall.
Phil Steele joining us here on 560 WQAM talking college football. Phil Steele with his college football preview. It is out on newsstands now. Just another note on the Gators that are you surprised in how well Dan Mullen fared his first year? Of course, he was the offensive coordinator under Urban for all those years, went to Mississippi State, had some success there, and then went back to Florida after they went 4-7 in 2017. That the Gators finally got good quarterback play, and you saw how well they played last year.
Well, actually, in my magazine every year, I have a section called my Most Improved section, which I think the teams that will improve the most during the year. And last year, I had the Florida Gators, my number one most improved team in the country. So I expected a big-time improvement from four to double-digit wins, and the Gators delivered. And I got to tell you, Kevin, every year people say, Phil, do you have a favorite team? And I say, yes, I do. They go, well, who is it? I go, it's a team I picked higher than everyone else. So I was doing the Gator chomp all season long, rooting for the Gators because I had them my number one most improved team and really enjoyed the season.
Now, looking at Florida State, and they obviously had a lot of bumps last year in Willie Taggart's first year. It started off in the opener against Virginia Tech, where they lost and they struggled against Samford in week two, got blown up by Syracuse. Just wasn't a good season at all. The Seminoles have a change at quarterback. Alex Hornibrook, the former Wisconsin quarterback, is now there. DeAndre Francois is gone. How do you see Florida State now going into Willie Taggart's second season?
I've got Florida State on my most improved list as my number three most improved team. And a most improved team is a team that's off a losing record that I expect to make to a bowl game this year, which I do for Florida State. I'm going to have Willie Taggart on my hot seat list, but for the record, I think he gets off of it. I believe James Blackman will hold on to the job and beat out Hornibrook at the quarterback spot. They've got three dangerous running backs in Akers, LeBourne, and Grant. Love the receiving core led by Tamron Terry. And the defense looks good. Their weak spot, much like Florida, the offensive line. That's been a weak spot for about 5 years. But talking to Coach Taggart last year and Coach Taggart this year, I think the biggest difference is the players last year may have been a little hurt by Jimbo Fisher leaving them. This year they're all bought in, and the team's deeper. They go 2-3 deep at every position, plenty of talent throughout. I think you're going to see a vastly improved Florida State team this year. In fact, I picked them second in the Atlantic. I'm not saying they're going to challenge Clemson, but I did pick them second in the Atlantic.
Now, just shifting over, at least back locally, to FIU and what Butch Davis has done over the last few seasons taking over there. And, you know, FIU, they go from, you know, from 13 to 16, they don't win more than five games a season. Butch comes in, they go 8-5, and then 9-4 last year. They win their bowl game against Toledo. It's just really amazing what Butch has been able to do there.
Amazing is correct. I would say they're 5 to 6 wins above the 2 years combined, above what I thought they would be. And Butch Davis is really doing a phenomenal job recruiting. I remember talking to Coach Davis last spring, and he said he was high on James Morgan, but I watched James Morgan at Bowling Green. He wasn't anything great, but he said, "Phil, it's a different system. I think you're going to see a much improved quarterback." At the end of the year, 26-7 ratio, 65% completions. This year, Coach Davis told me James Morgan's a legitimate NFL prospect, and I believe him. And then they take a guy like Maurice Alexander, slide him over from quarterback to wide receiver. I think he's going to have an impact there. Sterling Palmer, an impact at tight end. 8 returning starters on offense, 8 returning starters on defense. Now, last year, their 4 road games in conference play all came against teams that had a losing record. This year, their 4 road games in conference play are Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee, Florida Atlantic, and Marshall. Much more difficult, but Butch Davis has far surpassed my expectations in both years. I wouldn't put it past them if they're in contention again in the CUSA East, despite a tough schedule.
Now, just looking more nationally, and your top two teams, no surprise, are Alabama and Clemson. But then past that, you have Michigan at number 3, and I think we're all waiting for Jim Harbaugh to finally get over the hump at Michigan. We've seen him have his struggles against Ohio State, which has been the bugaboo the last few years. But, you know, you got to wonder which Shea Patterson, now back at quarterback, the former Ole Miss quarterback, now back with the Wolverines again, that is this the time when Michigan can finally get over the hump and be in that Final Four?
Yes, it is. And for the record, I've heard a lot of folks picking Michigan the last 4 years saying, this is the year, this is the year. I'm not one of them. I have picked Ohio State over Michigan in the division all 4 years that it's been around and been correct all 4 years. But this year I'm going with Michigan. First of all, Ohio State loses Urban Meyer. They lose Haskins at quarterback, who threw 50 touchdown passes last year. And there's no depth at quarterback for Ohio State. If something happens to Justin Fields, it's Gunnar Hoke time or Chris Chuganov time from West Virginia. Meanwhile, Michigan's got Shea Patterson. They bring in Josh Gattis over from Alabama with the spread offense. No more 12 personnel. It's going to be spread out, which fits Shea Patterson like a glove. And if something happens to them, I like Dylan McCaffrey. I like Joe Milton. I even like the true freshman, Cade McNamara. They've got great depth at quarterback. The receiving core has been underutilized, but they've got Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Blackall back. Sanistro was a star in the spring. The offensive line, I rate number 4 in the country. And defensively, Don Brown loses some players, but 2 years ago he lost all but one starter. They allowed 18.8 points per game. He's got 5 starters back. They've got a top 10 defense, as well as my number 7 rated special teams. And then their 3 toughest games are Notre Dame, Michigan State, Ohio State. All 3 teams are at home. I like Michigan to run the table and finally get past that Ohio State roadblock that's been in front of them all these years.
Who was that surprise team that fans should keep an eye on this year that can break out and maybe win 9, 10 games? I'm not saying against the Final Four, but at least be a team that can threaten and be maybe a top 10 or top 15 team that maybe people wouldn't have thought so last year.
Actually, my surprise team list in the magazine are my teams that I think have a shot at being a non-top 10 team that can make the playoff. And last year, my number one surprise team in the country was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They were not in the top 10 at the start of the year, and guess what? Made the playoff at a perfect 12-0. This year, my team is the Utah Utes. Utah's coming off a 7-6 and 9-5 season, and they play in the Pac-12, so you're probably scratching your head, Kevin. But last year, Utah lost their starting quarterback, Tyler Huntley, with 5 games to go. They lost their star running back, Zach Moss, with 5 games to go. They still made it to the Pac-12 title game, still nearly knocked off Washington. Well, this year, Huntley's back, Moss is back, their backups are back. The receiving core is the best they've had under Whittingham. The offensive line is solid. Boy, I love about this team is defense. They have my number one rated defensive line in the country. They go 11 deep. They got 6 or 7 NFL guys, Bradley Ane, Penasini, Fotu, dynamic up front. At the linebacking core, Bernard, Bowen, and Guidry. They had Bowen from Penn State. Shut down corner and Jalen Johnson. Free safety and Julian Blackman. One of the best defenses in the country. And last year, they had to play the top 4 teams out of the North. This year, they avoid Oregon, avoid Stanford. 2 toughest road games are USC, a team they thrashed last year, and Washington, a team with just 2 returning starters on defense. I think Utah could not only be that sneaky team, but one that actually qualifies for sure to playoff. They're my number one surprise team this year.
Check out Phil Steele right now. His college football preview is out on newsstands. It is a ton of information with every team in the FBS. No longer Division I. It's FBS. That's what we call it now. So check that out. He has all of his predictions. He has just everything that you want for college football. Check it out. His college football preview. Phil Steele joining us here on 560 WQAM. Phil, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, a lot of fun talking football with you tonight, Kevin.
All right, thanks a lot. You too. Phil Steele joining us right there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.